Amen. Good morning. Yes, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Very familiar chapter. Most of you probably have it memorized. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's pray first. Father God, we just love you. We thank you for the opportunity to come here in this building that we call Pauline Baptist Church. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, as always, that we live in a free country. And we pray for our military around the world, keeping us safe. And Father, we do lift up our missionaries, our local missionaries and our foreign missionaries that are running all over the country, all over the world, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, so that we don't ever want to forget about our military and our missionaries. Lord, also, just take just a second to lift up the people that are on the back of our bulletin, that you help them. There's all kinds of needs, physical needs, financial needs, emotional needs, just all kinds of needs. And you know what each one, you know what their need, Father. So we just lay them at the foot of the cross, and we just pause and ask you to bless them and help them. Lord, help me this morning teach this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, last week, and I was going to, how can I say this? Develop, create, listen to the Lord about messages around family and around marriages. And so that's what I've been doing. So this morning I have another message that I feel like is going to lead us up to the marriage conference. That's where we're going with this. Last week we talked about the differences between men and women. I think we had a little fun with that, and I think also it spoke to us. If you did not get a chance to listen to that, please go on our website and listen to that. I think it'll be a blessing for you. And I also emailed it out, so if you can listen to that. If you do not receive our emails from church, please get with me or Lynn or any of the deacons or Gary, Derry, and Larry, and give us your email, and we would love for you to receive all of our emails. Amen? So last week we talked about the difference between men and women, but I ended the message with two basic principles. One is the foundation. Your foundation in your marriage, and the flexibility. The flexibility basically was your ability to be flexible when it comes to your spouse and your children too, right? Are you quick to forgive? Are you quick to offer grace? Amen? The other principle is the foundation. And I talked about the foundation of a good marriage is love. Love. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So today's message is, what is love? What is love? So let's start out with the scripture, because I always like to go to the Bible, go to the scripture. Even me being a professional counselor, people ask me questions about this or that, and I said, yeah, I'm not quite sure, but let's see what the Bible says about that. It's always a good rule when you're trying to answer a question from people. You know, what about this, and what about that, and what about this? You know, I could give you my opinion, but I might mess you up. Let's just see what the Bible says about that, you know? And then you go to the Scripture. So here, let's go to the Scripture to answer what is love. Now, I need you to do something for me. This is a lot of scripture. We're going to read it all, and you can follow along in your Bible on the thingy up there. As I'm reading this, as we're reading this, I want you to open your heart to the Holy Spirit to guide you, comfort you, and correct you. Is that good? I mean, it's not my business to try to correct anyone. That's God's business, you see? So let's read. As we read, listen and see if you can hear the Lord tell you something. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Verse 7, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Verse 13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Everybody said amen? Amen. The Bible has, did you say amen? That's great. I love it. The Bible has a great deal to say about love. In fact, the Bible is very specific and says that God is love. In other words, love is a fundamental characteristic of who God really is. Amen? He is love. Everything God does, listen closely, everything that God does is driven and influenced by His love. The Bible uses several different words for love in the Greek and the Hebrew, and it's according to what context it's in. Some of the words for love in the Bible mean affection, affectionate love. It means friendship type love. And there's also the romantic love. In the Greek, okay, we are all pretty familiar with the word agape. It's the word that describes really God's love, His unconditional love. In the Greek, that word agape means the love of compassion, giving, the caring love that seeks the best for the one that's loved. Everybody get that? That's that agape love. The Bible gives a lot of examples, many examples about love in the New Testament and the Old Testament, such as the caring provision of Boaz for Ruth, the deep friendship between David and Jonathan, the poetic, passionate love of Solomon and the Shulamite. The enduring commitment of Hosea to Gomer. The fatherly love, and I love this one right here, the fatherly love of Paul for Timothy. And then John for the church. And of course, we all know the sacrificial, eternal, saving love of Jesus Christ for all of us believers. Amen? That agape love is mentioned throughout the New Testament, especially in what we call the love letter, which we just read. Okay? This is interesting. John 3:16 basically says that God is motivated. God was motivated by His love to save the world. That's what motivated Him, is the love. And God's love is best seen, and we focused on it several weeks ago at Easter, didn't we? We want to look at love and see love. It's the best way to look at love is to look at the cross. Look at Jesus and what He done for us. It's precious. Here's something that some of you need to hear. God's love does not require us to be worthy. You don't have to be worthy to receive God's love. His love is unconditional. He loves you because He loves you. It's not based on your performance. It's not based on how you feel. It's His compassion and His grace that's sufficient for all of us. I had a friend one time, he would always say, "Well, Dallas, I don't feel like God loves me. How do I know God loves me? I don't feel like it." And I kept telling him, it's not based on feelings. And usually when people feel that way, they keep looking in the past at all the things they did wrong. And they judge themselves and find themselves guilty. And are they guilty? Yeah, they are. Me and you all guilty of sin. That's the good news of the gospel. That we've been forgiven. If we ask God to forgive us of our sins, He is faithful and just. He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My friend somehow just couldn't get that. I think finally he did in his older age. How do you know that God loves you? Well, faith is the big part of that, right? Faith. We're saved by grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Listen closely if this you struggle with this. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates His own love. Everybody say demonstrates. One more time. Listen to this. How do you know God loves you? Because remember, in the English language, love is what? A verb. And a verb is what? An action word. So here we go. God demonstrates. I want you to get this. God demonstrates His own. I'm reading it literally, okay? God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were out there in our wickedness and in our sin and doing the ugly things that maybe some of us did and making mistakes and bad. But God still loved us. And He demonstrated this love for us that He went to the cross and put up with all that and took on the sins of the world. The Bible says that since true love is part of God's nature, God is the source of love. Now hang with me. I got my teaching hat on here, so If you're taking notes, listen to this little part right here because I think it's very important. It's all important, but you know what I mean. God is the source of love. He is the initiator. He is the initiator of a loving relationship with us. Any love we have for God is simply a response to His sacrificial love for us. Amen? 1 John 4:10. Here we are. Ready? 1 John 4:10. This is love. That's how it starts out. The title of this message is, what is love? Here is 1 John 4:10 telling us. It starts out like this. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Our human understanding of love is really flawed. It's weakened. We don't really understand it in our little human minds. But here's what the Bible tells us over and over and over again. That if we look to Jesus, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, the good news of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, it's like the better we understand, the more we begin to understand what real love is. Amen. The Bible says that God's love for us in Christ has resulted in our being brought into His family. We were adopted into the family of God. He drew us into it. As Frankie says, it's a day to celebrate. It is. Because you have been chosen. We are brought into His family. We're adopted. And He becomes our Father. Our Heavenly Father. He is Abba Father. He is Papa. Some people are uncomfortable with that word, but that's literally what that word means. Papa. He's my Heavenly Father. And He is a good, good Father. He loves you. 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is really what we are. Just as the father of the parable about the prodigal son, when he came home, he welcomed him. He was excited about it. That's the same way our Heavenly Father is when we finally accept Jesus as our Savior. Now, the Bible also says that we are to love others the way God loves us. Didn't get an amen on that one. We are to love the family of God. You look around, this is our church family here with some friends and maybe visitors, and we're all still, if you believe in Jesus, right? You're saved, born again, you're family. So we are to love our family. As we talked about last week, we are to love our neighbor. Remember? Your closest neighbor is your spouse. Remember that? Laying 3 or 4 feet away from you in bed, in your recliner, in your living room, sitting beside you in your car, driving down the road. It's your closest neighbor. We are to love our enemies too. Whew. How do we do that? We're to love our enemies too. I'll tell you a good place to start. If you have an enemy, someone that gets on your nerves, someone you don't like. Oh, I know, we're supposed to love everybody, but I don't like some people. Can I say that? Is that all right? It's just life, man, you know. Maybe I shouldn't say that. It's all good. It's true. Sometimes when I get to know him a little bit better, I say, hey, this guy's pretty cool, man. I like him. So that's more my fault, isn't it, right? Judging people. Anyway, I'm digging a hole, trying to get out of it. But here's what the Bible says about this, and this is what I've experienced in my life. When you're around folks that maybe you don't like, not necessarily your enemy, you know, maybe, pray for them. Pray for them. What do you pray? Pray for what you think is best for them. Right? I mean, pray for their yard or something. I don't know. Don't pray for poison ivy to grow, but, you know, pray for them. If you'll sincerely pray for a coworker, maybe that gets on your nerves, or a neighbor that's, you know, pray for them. If you'll start praying for them, most of the time you'll feel better. More grace will come to you. And then maybe pretty soon God begins to open up a little small window that you may love them with some sort of action. Some sort of gift. You know? Maybe an opportunity for you to go over to your neighbor and help jumpstart his car when you see the hood up. Or, you know, maybe some kind of window where you can actually do something for your neighbor. Like we said last week, husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And as we show this kindness, this love, this selfless type love to our family, friends, and neighbors, we reflect God's love to a lost and dying world. And boy, do we have a lost world. We've always had a lost world, but now we just know more about it because of TV, right? We're going to try to let our light shine this weekend and show a little love. I know some of you are going to be working hard. Thank you for showing love to the folks that's going to show up for our marriage conference. 1 John 4:19. Ready? We love because He first loved us. And then I got to throw this in here because this is the truth. The Bible also says that our love for God is related to our obedience to Him. 1 John. There's a lot of 1 Johns in here. Maybe that's interesting, right? 1 John 5:3. Here it is. For this is the love of God. Here it again. It's answering our question. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. They're just not. Do we mess up? Yes. Do we get it all right? No. None of us are perfect. We're not going to get it right. You're not going to be able to do all the Ten Commandments, just the Ten Commandments. You're not going to be able to live by them every day, all day long, for the rest of your life. Nobody does. None of us. That's why Jesus came, right? We're not perfect, and He is. He was and He is perfect. And He died on the cross for us. That's the propitiation. He took our place. Because we cannot measure up. We're not going to get it all right. So we need to trust Him. Trust God's love for sending Jesus for us. God's love enables us to do our best and to try to live according to His commandments. The biggest one is, I started it out at the message. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Can you guys try to do that every day? Just try to do that. That reminds me of Phil Robinson. I used to show his video a lot at work about his testimony when he got saved. And I used to say that a lot. He said, I just try to love God with all my heart, love my neighbor as myself. First John 4:18 says that the perfect love drives out fear. All right, I'm going to close in just a second, but listen to this. Everybody listen, put your radars on. The dismissal of the fear of condemnation is one of the main functions of God's love. That's why Paul said, therefore, there is, what? No more. Everybody say no more. Therefore, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is just really about us condemning ourselves. We don't want to talk about us trying to condemn other people. That's another subject. But we're condemning ourselves. We're putting ourselves down. We're no good. We're ugly. We've messed up too bad. That is that self-condemnation. And Paul said, it's over. When Christ died on the cross, when you put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection, God filled you up with His Holy Spirit, there should be no more condemnation. No more. Part of understanding the love of God is knowing that God's judgment fell on Jesus at the cross so that we would be spared. Please get that one. That will set you free. Jesus described Himself as the Savior. John 3:17 says this, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Now, that's great, but listen closely. Some of you this may apply this morning. The very next verse reminds us that the only person who must fear judgment is the one who rejects Jesus Christ. See, as a born-again Christian, we don't have to fear judgment day. We have already been judged and found guilty. And Jesus Christ stepped in and paid the price for us. We've been pardoned. We've been forgiven. The wrongs on that old chalkboard in heaven has been erased. All your sins have been erased on that chalkboard. They've been cast as far as the east as the west into the sea of forgetfulness. Amen? But rejecting Christ to the very end, when your heart stops, is the unforgivable sin. That's the unforgivable sin. When your heart stops and you've rejected Christ, then you will stand before God Almighty and you'll have to answer. The Bible says that nothing can separate the believer from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God's love does not turn or decrease. It is not an unreliable emotional sensation. Everybody get it? God's love for all. Everybody say all. God's love for all lost sinners is why Christ died on the cross. And God's love for those who trust in Christ is why He holds them in His hand and He promises to never let them go. Never let them go. And I'll close with this scripture. Jesus said this. It wasn't Paul or Peter or John, some other jackrabbit in the Bible. This was Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Messiah. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 29. Here's what He said. My Father has given them to Me. And He is more powerful in anyone. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. Amen. Isn't that encouraging? God loves you, my friends. He loves you. Do you know Him this morning? Do you know Him this morning? Let's pray. Father God, we just love You and we thank You for this time. Thank You for Your Word, that it does encourage us. It does lift us up. Father, Your Word also gives us direction and it also corrects us. It helps us get in line to what You want for us, what You want for our marriages. And Lord, we thank You for that. Father, there's one here this morning that's never accepted Jesus as a personal Savior. I pray that during this song of invitation, they would come down and I'd be glad to talk with them. I'd be glad to pray with them and settle that this morning so they can know for sure that they're going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.